Welcome, my listeners, to our podcast, Ovadia. My name is Rabbi Binyamin Rahmanov. Our goal is here to present a few halachot which are Jewish laws and Judaic laws that might, entail certain circumstances different than obviously every other year. It's very imperative. I don't really like to comment about what goes on publicly. Public comments about what goes on in pandemics or huge events until the event actually is concluded, because Sof Maasev Machshava Tchila, end of action is always the first thought. We have no idea the outcome of anything, and there's not much really to comment if you don't know the outcome. And I don't like to really comment on non-outcomes. It's just hearsay, especially not to do it in public. My opinions, I talk to my friends, this, that, that's for sure. But definite public outcomes are so much needed to know before you can even make any public statement. So that's my stand on that. So until there's no real conclusionary outcome, you're not going to hear anything from me in written form or in audio form. But definitely today we have the outcome is that we are all in shelter. We are all home. People are davening bi'chidut. People are davening praying in private, without, of course, a minyan. There's a lot of things going on halachically, Judaic law-wise, that is pertaining and that is kind of overcoming us. And we have to know how to, maneuver these certain halachot. So I first want to bring to you a halacha from Chazon Avadia in regards to how to do siyum siyum. Not shas, avisium, for a person who is a bechor, who is a firstborn. So, Ravadia Sef says in his book, in Sefer Chazon Avadia, he writes, "Habechorim mitanim beref Pesach ben bechor me'av ben bechor me'em." A firstborn fasts, whether in Erev Pesach, the eve of Passover, whether he's a firstborn from a father or a firstborn from a mother. Zechlenes shinase lebechorei Yisrael, remembrance to the miracle that had occurred for the firstborns of the Jews, of the Israelites, that Hashem had redeemed us, shepada'am Hashem b'shash nagaf b'leit Pesach, that He redeemed us from the time of the Negev, the time of the plague of Passover, et kol bechorei Mitzrayim, of all the firstborns of Egypt. And there's some who say that even a woman who is a firstborn should also fast. And our minhag is not to do so. But in a place that the firstborn girls did fast, but if a girl who is the bechora, who is the firstborn girl, who usually has a minhag to fast, if she is pregnant or she is breastfeeding, and la letanot, she doesn't have to have any fast. And of course, umiyom haleida atzuf chavdal shenechsha dina meneket, from the time of the birth of her child's birth till 24 months, she always has the definition as a woman who's menaked, who's in a time of breastfeeding. So 24 months you got from childbirth to that point. And he continues on and on. But now I want to get into the siyum mesechet, the siyum, and how we get to the siyum. Bedorot elu sheyalda chulsha leolam, in today's time where the chulsha, the weakness has come, because realistically, we got to be honest. We are in a time of life that our bodies are weaker, because we're not really working the land. Farmers, their bodies probably are stronger. They probably have some retainment. They're doing what the old school peoples used to do. But back then, people used to have a lot of stress and retain a lot of physical labor, physical work. Today, most of us, either we're sitting all day or standing all day, but we don't really do physical labor. So, and plus, as time goes by, because we have so much access to so many instant things, instant coffee, instant toast, all these things. We have in our time a chulsha, a deficiency of what was before in our physical abilities and nature. So והתענית גורם להפרעת עריכה הסדר בליל הפסח במקום מצוותו. And תענית, really fasting out of Pesach, it's really difficult for a person to really understand how to fast and, you know, really get to the Leil HaSeder, fasting, not eating, then drinking wine. And then by the time you actually eat, it's 9, 10 o'clock. You know, it takes time for the Leil HaSeder. כי בשתייה דל כוסות ואחיל למצא ומרון, הגול הכל הפסיק התענית על השתתפות בסעודת מצווה. So we have a mitzvah, we have a minhag that we do סעודת מצווה in order to be patur, in order to be exempt from the actual תענית. Therefore, כגון סעודת סיום מסכת. So doing a סיום מסכת is a way to get out of and being exonerated from the actual תענית בחורות, the fast of the firstborn. וסעודת חתן וכלה בתוך שבעת ימי משתה, if you can get into a סעודה of a husband and wife, חתן וכלה, a newlywed, and their סעודה of שבע ברכות is even better. If you could do a breakfast, you're definitely out, you know, you have no issue. וסעודת ברית מילה, also if you have a ברית מילה on ערב פסח, you're out, ופדיון הבן, if you have a פדיון הבן ערב פסח, it's also good. סעודת בר מצווה, a meal for a bar mitzvah is also good if the meal of the bar mitzvah is actually specific to its date, meaning it's the exact date of the bar mitzvah or the exact moment where he can be considered bar mitzvah. And it has to be the time. It cannot be a bar mitzvah that's done 2 weeks later or whatnot. And they have what to rely on. Now, ואין הבחורים צריכים לפרוע תענית ביום אחר. This is a very important point. People think, okay, I missed the fast תענית ברכות. Maybe I have to do it some other day. Maybe I have to, you know, make up for it. No, you don't have to make up for it. There's no make up. ואפשר להקל בשעת הדחק. Now, in our situation, there is what to be מקל, to be lenient in the fact that what? בסיום מסכת משניות. In concluding a small mesechet, a small tractate of Mishnah. V'afilu mesechet kintana, even a small mesechet, like maybe Tami, Ta'anit, Rosh Hashanah, Migila, small mesechetot, mesechet chagiga, these are small mesechetot tractates in the Mishnayot, as in the Mishnayot. In Pirush Rabbeinu Ovadia Bar-Tanura, with a commentary of Ovadia Bar-Tanura. Now, it's very important for people to understand. And If you can't learn Bar Tanura, right, you're not going to sit and learn in Bar Tanura. There's a lot of individuals who don't know Hebrew. What are they going to do with the Mishnah? Meaning they don't know Hebrew and understanding the text. So the best option is going to sefaria.org, take a Mishnah, Masechet Chagigah, or Ta'anit, or Rosh Hashanah, and actually read the Masechet Chagigah for yourself, you know, due to our situation with the pandemic. Read the Masechet Chagigah, and from there on, when you're reading this Masechet Chagigah, very simple, read it in English. It's in sefaria.org. So sefaria.org has it in English. You can read the translation, and boom, you fulfilled the mitzvah of learning Mishnayot. Because Mishnayot happens to be it's the difficult situation. Mishnah, you cannot learn Mishnah without understanding Mishnah. So Mishnah is not like reading Tehillim. You cannot learn Mishnayot without understanding Mishnayot. It's one of the halachic factor points that Mishnah must be learned and understood. So you cannot really learn Mishnayot and not understand the Mishnayot, which is very important. And that's what a person has to take and endeavor. That, and he has to understand, okay, I'm going to come Erev Pesach, and if I cannot learn Mishnayot, okay, what am I going to do? I can't read it. I can't read it like Tehillim, but I understand it. Very simple. Sefaria.org has the Mishnah. You go online. You go on the app. Learn the app. Read the app. Or learn the Mishnah. Masechet Chagigah. Tractate Chagigah. Or Tractate Ta'anit. And there you go. You have the Mishnah in English. You read it in English. You read it in Hebrew. It'll take you no more than an hour. And you finish the Masechet. Erev Pesach. This is for a person who has no idea or has no ability to connect with someone who is doing a siyum. And furthermore, mekol makom nira, continuing the chazon avani from avani. So mekol makom nira she'en la'akel b'siyum misayet mishnayot ele latzmo. And this is very key. You cannot basically include someone in your Siyum Masechet on Mishnayot unless you actually have learned that Mishnah as well. So it's not like I learned Masechet, a Masechta in Gemara, and I can include someone in the Masechet Gemara. It's not possible. Once you learn the Mishnayot, once you learned the Mishnah, you are exempt. That means you yourself have to learn this Mishnah. So if you did not learn the Mishnah on your own, with understanding of the Mishnah, simple understanding of the Mishnah, then you are not exempt for Siyum Masechet of Mishnayot. That means you cannot rely on someone else to learn this Masechet Mishnayot for you, and then on Erev Pesach, which is what we usually do, is you partake in a synagogue group where one rabbi or one individual who learned the Masechet is going to release others from the Mishnah, from the Tanit Bechorot, from the fast of the firstborn. So in this scenario, if you have no ability to go anywhere, and obviously since the shuls are not open and the minyanim are not around, you have now the ability to learn Mishnah on your own by going to safaria.org, taking Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, or Masechet Chagigah, or Masechet Tamid. These are small Mishnayot that you can complete and learn in English and learn in Hebrew and come out with understanding something of the Mishnah and have understanding of the Mishnah. And now you're patur from Tanit Bechorot. This is if a person obviously has no other option. And of course, that will have to be done today, Tuesday, April 7th. Or tomorrow, the April 8th, you can do it, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You can do it after you do your tefillah, so on and so forth. Those are the options that you have. And then the other option that you have, so he repeats what I just said, and any learning without understanding of Masechet, of complete Masechet, is not considered learning to exempt you from Ta'anit Bechorot, which is what we said. So let's say I learn one book from the Zohar. Let's say I just want to read. Boom, read the Zohar. Read Chumash Bereshit, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. Any of the Chumashim, any Sefer from the Zohar, even though I don't understand any of the Sodot there. Nechshav limud, it's considered limud, v'asimu shelo poter meta'anit b'chorim. And the limud is, and this learning is poter from ta'anit b'chorim. So basically it's as follows. In the Zohar you have several parshiot, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. Within the Zohar, they have close to 12 books, 12 Sfarim. 12 Sfarim. You have Safta Ditznuta, you have Idra Rabba, Idra Zuta, you have Tosfot, right? You have also Medishnei Elam. You have Raya Mehemna. And then you have the Zohar. And you have a few other excerpts, Sfarim, in there, small Sfarim. So what I would suggest is take either Safed Ditznuta, which is found in the Zohar. You just open any Zohar. You look for Safed Ditznuta. It's right there. They also have it in Sfaria. It's not a big deal if you want to read just the Zohar and just read through it. Reading Safed Ditznuta should not take a person more than 45 minutes to an hour max. And he's also mekayim the mitzvah of actually, fulfilling Ta'anit Bechorot, and he can do a siyum on Safed Ditznuta. So that's again for himself, he can do it and he's exonerated. Now, in regards to people who can have that, Rabbi Brajil made a psak alacha about the beginning of this endeavor, and was in Parashat Vayakel Pekudei Motzei Shabbat, he wrote this tshuva, this responsa, where they asked him, how do we do Ta'anit Bechorot in this time and age? Not everybody will have the time or the ability to do the Ta'anit Bechorot, the fast, so and do the Siyum. So what do we do here? So he basically said, you can do a Zoom or Skype or even I'm adding because he said anything of that. Like I'm adding, you can do a Facebook Live or YouTube Live Siyum. So, I mean, me personally, I will be doing, I'm a firstborn. My son is a firstborn. So, and I have a few firstborns around, I will be doing very simple. I will be doing a Zoom plus Facebook Live and YouTube Live video for Erev Pesach about 8:45 a.m. So basically everybody will be, you know, exempt from the Tanit Bechorot, and you can log in, you can join in the Siyum HaMasechet. I'm doing the full Masechet. I do every year a Masechta, and I finish it for a different Masechta, and I finish it for my Siyum, for the Tanit Bechorot. So for the firstborn. So, Tuesday is today. So Wednesday, tomorrow morning, I'll be doing Siyum HaMasechet Erechin, and we'll be doing that Siyum Masechet, and we'll give everybody the Facebook Live link. Basically, the link will be on the New York Bedin link. I'll post it as well in the podcast portal, and also in WhatsApp to all my groups, all my friends. And you can basically join us for our Siyum Masechet Live on Masechet Erechin Wednesday morning. So that specific halacha, I'm glad that I was able to get out in this podcast, which is very, very important. I believe it was a little bit important also to understand that in today's situation, you know, technology, Hashem doesn't give things without knowing what's going on. And we have, Baruch Hashem, the technology that can suffice to these details and to these situations that we are at hand. The next halacha I want to mention is, I asked my rabbi, Rabbi Virgil, another question, and he's been getting a lot of questions and answers, so a lot of questions. And we're going to try to go through as many of them as possible in this part one podcast. If we'll have to do another part two, we'll do a part two. And this podcast, basically, the other question I asked him was about the Kaddish. Unfortunately, we know that this grim situation with the pandemic has caused a lot of deaths. And unfortunately, many people don't have access to a minyan. And what is a person going to do? He can't say Kaddish. He can't say, you know, he can't read Haftarah, you know, no Sefer Torah, no reading to the people who have no access. You know, what do they do? Because they have no access for the Kaddish. So the reality is, Rabbi Baruch, so I asked him very simple, can a person, you know, after a year, so 12 months are passing, can he add Kaddish? I missed 60 days, let's say, or 30 days or 20 days because of this situation or whatever. We don't know when, you know, what the end result will be yet. But if, let's say, I miss these days, what do I do? Can I add the 60 days to the year? Can I add the 30 days or can I add the 20 days to the year? What do I do in this situation? So he responded to me. He said in a response, which we'll put up in our Beit Din website, and I also put it in the Hovadia website once it's up and running. We're still under construction on that website. And he says, because of the situation at hand, he writes in conclusion that you can never add more to the 12 months because, God forbid, any addition to the 12 months is problematic. And the problematic point is because 12 months is the max a person can sit in Gehenna, you know, sit in hell, the way we say. And to state that you're going to say Kaddish more than 12 months, you're basically saying that that the person or your father, or your mother, or your sibling, or whoever will be any relative that you have is considered a shot, an evildoer, a person who's bad. And, you know, only the bad have Gehenom for 12 months straight. And then they either go to a Gilgul or they go to, you know, reincarnation based on Kabbalah or whatever it'll be. So a person has to understand that at this point of view, at this point in respect, person shouldn't think that he should be able to expand on the Kaddish. You know, you should not add because by adding it, you're telling someone, yeah, my father or my mother or my, you know, my relative of the seven relatives that you have to say Kaddish for is, yeah, he's a rasha. You know, that is obviously a problem. That is obviously a huge issue. And therefore you should not do that. So what supplements can you do? So he mentioned to me that the biggest supplement you can do is say Ashkavah. You know, just say the Hashkavah, Tov Shem Shem and Tov. They have it in the Siddurs. You just say Hashkavah every day. one, two, three times a day, say the Ashkava, and it should be equated to it. I suggest people should, you know, learn more Torah. You know, in this pandemic, we learn a huge lesson as well, that a lot of peoples are uneducated in the realities of what the Torah tells us and how to live. So if peoples were educated more in the actual text of the Torah and not YouTube channels, right? Channels and video on YouTube is not the main flow of how to learn Torah. As the Ben Ishchai says, the flow of learning Torah is actually through speech, not through the eye. So, and even the Rav Yosef has a commentary in a tshuva. If I skim read with my eyes, am I considered learning Torah? You know, do I have to have a verbal expression while learning Torah? And many poskim and many rabbinical figures in the past, and Rav Yosef brings this in Yibia Omer, state, yeah, you have to actually read the context in majority to be Yotzeh Me'at Torah. You know, obviously, you know, that's the main frame that we have. So I'm glad that we passed that halacha, that basically Kaddish, you know, unfortunately, you cannot add on Kaddish. You cannot make a bonus in Kaddish on that point. Now, what I do suggest that most people don't know this, but the Ariyah Kadosh does say that even if a person passes away, 12 months have passed, doesn't matter, a person can always say Kaddish on Saturdays and Shabbatot and Chagim. And Ariyah Kadosh was noheg to do so. That's just an added point of view with the halakha of Kaddish, that Ariyah Kadosh had a minhag and custom that when it came to Shabbat and holidays, that he would definitely still say Kaddish. And he says, actually, okay to say Kaddish, and there's no issue. Because anyway, no one is in Gehenom in Shabbatot. Shabbatot, Gehenom is also resting. It's also a closed shop. So it's very important that a person can take that into effect and use that, you know, extra point that Ariyah Kadosh prayer says. And then he can continue maybe another year if he wants, you know, after the Askara, wait a week, start it after. And then, you know, you go back and you say, okay, I'm not want to say, you know, Kaddish every Shabbat and every Chagim for another year, just on Shabbatot and Chagim. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's just fine. And that will be agreed upon with everybody. Now, in regards to another halakha that I asked Rabbi Virgil, me personally, is, due to the situation that we have now in regards to, you know, hair cutting, you know, the government had created a full shutdown in all non-essential workers. So now what do we do in that situation? That situation is also kind of problematic where, you know, you can't get a haircut. You know, if you try to get a haircut privately, okay, good luck. You got a haircut privately, that's fine. You know, that's not a problem. But many people don't have that access where they can just get their friend who's a barber, you know, and ask for a haircut. So what do you do? So if the government says, okay, barbers can be open on Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Virgil basically said in his response to me, he basically said, yes, you can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed in this situation because it's equated, like the Shulchan Aruch says, to a person who was captured by war or captured by, you know, abduction and then released, or he was imprisoned. Or even if an avel, you know, unfortunately has a person who passed away and his 30th day comes on Chol HaMoed, which in any scenario, you're allowed to get a haircut and shave. Within that subject line and within that aspect. So due to that, person will be able to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So if the government in New York State decides to open shop for all the barbers on Chol HaMoed, you for sure can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. That's no issue. Or if you don't have time to get now any person to give you a haircut, but now you can get someone on Chol HaMoed to give you a haircut, then for sure it's the same thing. In regards to Sfirat HaOmer, it's much a lesser condition than Chol HaMoed, because the condition on Sfirat HaOmer, since it's less, it's because it's a minhag, it's a custom that Yosef Karo established. And we know many people use the leniency when regards to shaving every Erev Shabbat, every, you know, open weekend. Friday. So from the Radbaz and the Benish and the Rabbi Yosef, they write this. Many rabbinical authorities in the past and today's time have mentioned you can get a haircut in regards to Sfirat HaOmer, Aner of Shabbat, the people who go to work and people who are you know, retained, where they have to have a clean shaven, you know, face. In our situation, even if you're Bachur Yeshiva, because in the other situation, if you're a Bachur Yeshiva, regular person, you should not do it, obviously. It's only for a person who's working in a work environment. But in today's situation, if the pandemic, New York State decides, says, okay, barbershops open and it's at Sfirat HaOmer, you can definitely take a haircut this year without no question when it regards to Sfirat HaOmer. The chiddush here, the novelty is that Rabbi Bajil was explaining is that the whole premise of New York State shutting down barbershops equates us now to be a person who has been captured in war or captured in whatnot situation, you know, imprisoned or whatever it is, or captured in abduction. And now I'm released. I'm before Chol HaMoed or on Chol HaMoed, and now I want to get a haircut, because the whole premise of getting a haircut is for the beautification of Yom Tov. It's kvod. It's for the honor of Yom Tov. So that's it's a mitzvah. It's based on a mitzvah of that situation, of that level. So in regards to this podcast, I want everybody to really understand another point of view, another halachic point. And this was recent that someone did tell me that people are using Zoom or Facebook or internet to make minyanim, to interconnect as a minyan. You should know that is absolutely wrong. There is no way you can make a minyan by connecting 10 individuals via a device. That's and you cannot say Kaddish in that aspect. That's just a failure, a big failure in understanding halacha. And anyone who says that is it's clear that they really don't understand the retrospect or how the interconnections of halakha and the weaving of halakha really works. And it's a skill, it's a trade, it's something that you have to really apprentice to understand how to interlink halakhic authorities and halakhic principles together. And you can't just do that by learning, you know, a little bit and that's it. This takes tens of years of education and learning. And many people's got to understand this point. Okay, you read a couple of books, doesn't mean now you're a rabbinical authority or a halachic authority. You got to be a giant 50 years, 40 years, 60 years in the trade, like any other trade, as a doctor, as a lawyer, you know. And there's obviously in the rabbinical world, there's different calibers of doctors and different calibers of rabbis, so on and so forth. And we all strive to learn to our best. And it is, of course, important that everybody becomes independent halachically. So I want you to understand that in this time and age, it's important to actually get information and get it accurate. Get it accurate. And hopefully I've done that for everybody today. And we'll definitely will be able to upload, hopefully within the next couple of days, a lot of what we said. I have the text, I have the information, I'll be able to send it over to everybody and send you the links on our websites for you to see and for you to review. So I'll call off for this part. I wish everybody bracha v'atzacha, chag sameach, and I wish a lot of yeshua for everybody. Thank you, and we're off.
and never paid attention, and maybe